You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi! Welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. For 14 years, we have been providing our audience with entertainment industry career advice. Now, this show is for you if you are pursuing a career in the entertainment industry, or if you already are, we can provide you with tips, advice, and resource information on how and what it takes. I hate that I'm looking over here because that is so weird. Why does this, everybody complains about that they're forced to look in the opposite direction when the camera's over here. But for some reason, we cannot see ourselves. We have to look over here. Very strange. Okay. So don't think I'm avoiding eye contact. Let's just put. Okay. So for 14 years, we've been providing entertainment industry advice. And if you're already pursuing a career in the entertainment industry, this is a great show for you too, because we have people on that are also pursuing it, and they have excellent tips, excellent advice that you might not even have thought of. Now, the guests on our show, some of the guests on our show are Emmy Award winners. We have Grammy Award winners. We have Tony Award winners. We have celebrity, reality TV stars. I like to be called celebrities, the reality TV people now. We have producers, directors, so many. Casting directors, we have literary agents, of course, actors, singers, models, musicians, we have stunt people, we have script supervisors, makeup artists, and we come with entertainment attorneys around December, because that's a great time to get an entertainment attorney. If your career is going so great, you're like, wow, I need to get an entertainment attorney, the contracts are coming, what do I do? This is great, entertainment attorney. Now, if you missed any of our past shows, we have three ways that you can listen to any of them. Number one, download the free mobile app on the App Store, the Google Play Store. Number two, we are on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Amazon Podcasts, Google, and Audible.com. Pretty much, you just go to Google, type Priscilla Leona or Question Reality, and you're going to find us all over the place. We're all over. You can also listen to any of the past shows on the archive page, which is what you're listening. Well, actually, this is Facebook Live, so you have to go to the website. So you have to go to latalkradio.com and type in my name, Priscilla Leona or Question Reality. There's a drop-down box. You know how to do it. You got it. And it will show all of the shows with the name of the guest and also their profession, which is really great if you're looking for a specific profession. It's there. And now we ask for the itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini favor of please subscribe to our podcast. We ask you that, and to give us a follow and a like. We're on every social media platform, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, you name it. So just type my name again. You know what my tip is every week, branding, branding, branding. When you are starting out, you got to make sure you keep it consistent so people can find you. So if you type Priscilla Leona or Question Reality, you're going to find us on Google. And give us a little thumb. We all need a thumb, isn't it? What the heck has happened to our world where we need a thumb, we need a like, we need a follow? I would highly recommend that you watch a Dark Mirror episode. I can't remember the name of it, but it was wild how in the future, everything you do, if you walk by someone on the street and they think you gave them a dirty look, they will press something and you will lose a follower. It's wild. Check it out. It's Dark Mirror. It's crazy. So finally, if you want to be booked on our show, now this is where you have to listen, because you have to go to another website. You have to go to our official website, which is questionrealityradioshow.com, questionrealityradioshow.com. And that's where you can submit to for consideration to become on, to come on the show and showcase yourself and your products and interview and give us all kinds of great tips and advice. You have to go to questionrealityradioshow.com, not the website you're on, which is latalkradio.com. Again, questionrealityradioshow.com. And you can see all the upcoming guests. You can read their profession. And that is, it's great. Great. Go over there. You can watch everything. And that's it. Oh, you want to go to the contact link. And you just, it's real easy. You just type your name and your website and submit. That's it. Now, on to the fun part. The guest. That's my favorite part. This is a gorgeous man, by the way. Wow. He's a sexolito. He's sexy-licious. And his name is Colin, and I hope I'm pronouncing it right, Deering or Daring. He will correct me. He is a writer, a director, a producer, and look, he's on now in advance. Didn't even get to read your bio. Okay, so he is from Toms River, New Jersey. I partied in Toms River in the 80s. I don't want to date myself, but they were rocking in Toms River in the 80s. You weren't even born. But I do know Toms River. And he majored in English at Dowling College in New York. And he loves, we have something in common. He loves to bury himself in streaming television, watching films, reading comic books. Now, I'm not so much a comic book person, but I can appreciate it. And hiking. Now, Lord, you know, I haven't hiked since 72. There's no hiking involved for me. But I can appreciate how healthy it is for you, Colin. Now, he wanted me to say this, he is eternally grateful to the devotion of the cast and crew of his project called The Loyalist. So welcome, Colin.
Hey, how are you?
Look how sexy you are. Do you have a mirror like right there where you can look at yourself just to say, wow, I am so blessed? Do you do that?
No, like Stuart Smalley, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and gosh darn it, people like me.
Oh my God. No, I met you, you were referred through your brother, Rory, who is lovely. Oh my God, he's so chill and calm and peaceful, where I'm so high energy, but when I'm around him, I feel like going, namaste. He brings a peaceful effect. So love Rory. He's back in New Jersey now, right?
Correct. Yes. He's over there. He's there for the summer. He'll be back in the fall.
Oh, he's coming back because you're in LA. He's on the East Coast.
Correct. Yes.
Now, let me, for everyone, if you could, I'm going to announce this again, but if you could check out Colin's, is it Deering or Daring?
No, you got it. Deering.
Check out his site, which is theloyalist.com, the-loyalist.com. You're on Twitter at theloyalistusa, Instagram at theloyalist, Facebook at Colin Deering. So just put that out there. Today, we are going to be discussing his audio drama series, and he will be giving us, hopefully, Colin, tips, advice, and resource information on how you two could start your own audio drama with, hopefully, a budget-conscious plan, because you know how hard it is. Everything in LA is so darn expensive, it's hard to get projects off the ground. So let me ask you this. Let's talk about The Loyalist. Now, I understand it's an episodic sci-fi audio drama set in the year 2053 during the Second American Civil War, and three soldiers are dispatched to protect the wealthy hiding out in a luxury resort in the Amazon jungle. Already, Colin, I am intrigued. I am like, what? I mean, first of all, a second Civil War sounds very realistic in today's political and cultural climate. So I see it coming, even though I hope I'm long dead before it starts, but I can see it coming. But it's also a definite and realistic, I would say, idea that the wealthy would hire soldiers. They probably do that now, that they would be hiring soldiers to protect them and their gold bullion, everything and all their jewels, you know, around them. So why don't, for those that are not familiar with the show, they haven't seen it. First, I want to start out because I had a lot of people, when I announced you were coming on the show, I had a lot of people texting me saying, and these are people not in the entertainment industry, so they said, what's an audio drama? I said, we will ask Colin to explain it. So for those, and there are still people out there who don't know what the words audio drama mean, can you please explain first what an audio drama is?
Okay. Audio drama, it's different than like a regular interview podcast. It's a scripted show. It can be anywhere from, you know, 10 minutes to 2 hours, depending on it, what it is. It entails different voices, usually more than one, but there's been some great ones out there that are just one narrator as well. Some can be episodic, some are just one and done kind of specials, kind of stuff like that. It's usually fictional. Can be genre based. It can be any sort of, any sort of story you want to tell with that.
So it's sort of like back in the old days, back in the 40s, when they had the radio dramas. So those were radio dramas, but people who didn't have television, well, most people had television, but man, wait, no, the 40s, they did not. They would listen to the radio. So there would be, for example, lots of shows where people would come on and they would act out murder mysteries and all kinds of stuff. So it's just the same as watching a web series, but you're listening to it like on a radio, correct? Is that right?
Correct. Yes. Yeah.
There we go. Yeah. All right. So give us the scoop. First of all, what prompted you to write this particular story?
I wasn't completely invested in audio dramas before I started doing it, but the allure of it is that you could essentially write, you know, people want to make their own television shows and their movies. They want to do independent things, but it's very difficult to have the budget to do something like that. And when you write something that's just purely audio there, you have all this leeway to kind of do whatever you want. So I wanted to write like an episodic television show, but I also wanted it to be able to do whatever I wanted to do and write whatever characters I wanted to write in that way. And the audio drama, despite not having any visuals, gave me the freedom to do that.
Yeah, it's really, people, it is, all of you that are considering coming to LA, you want to be a star, it is very expensive to do things, especially today. It seems like it's more expensive now after the pandemic. God, you go buy a loaf of bread and you got to sell your firstborn to get a loaf of bread. So very, very expensive to do film and web series. So audio dramas, I think, are becoming extremely popular right now. If you want to write and just get it out there, you have everything you need on your phone, editing software. You have you'd have to Google. If you don't know how to do it, just Google it. You'll learn. But you can do it. And it seems like to get your feet wet, Colin, I think that for people starting out, that would be the way to go. And the good thing is that you can do it anywhere. You don't have to move to LA to do an audio drama, right?
Correct. Yeah. And also you can, get people at different times. Everybody doesn't have to be there at the same time. You can do, you know, record someone one day and then record someone the other day. At first I was kind of married to everybody being in the same room at the same time because I thought the performance, you get the energy, and it is really good. But if you're working on a budget and people have schedules and families and stuff like that, this makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, I mean, the gas prices are outrageous, at least here in California. And so many people work on different schedules. So audio dramas really give you an opportunity to just have people work. No matter, they can be in Europe, they can be anywhere in the world and participate as an actor or whatever you want them to do. Obviously, we talked about it production-wise, it's cheaper. But what are some other reasons that you feel audio dramas would be a good market to test your toe in, other than what we just talked about. Anything else?
You know, you are able to also, beyond just the budgetary reasons, you are able to kind of do whatever you want. You do have a creative freedom within there too. Not just because the thing you know, you can, hey, I want to write a fantasy series. Hey, I want to write a sci-fi series. I want a mystery crime series. You can kind of do whatever you want. And you also, with this too, because you have such talented people involved with it, you know, one person could also do three different voices. Big mistake when I started was, oh, I need to have a different voice for every person. And I see I'm in some of these discords and a lot of people are like, no, this person needs to be this voice. No, you've got a depth of talent at your disposal and they can do a million different voices. And you can also record them all at the same time.
Yeah, you can hire voiceover actors. You can get all kinds of voices. You can get one person to do every voice probably. Right? I have so many friends like Debbie Derryberry. She was the voice of Boy Neutron. Remember that comic?
Jimmy Neutron?
Yes. And I'm like, you, she's a female. I'm like, you did the voice of it. And she can do like a baby voice. I had her on my show and she was doing all these voices. I'm like, and then I had another friend on who is the official voice of Porky the Pig. And I was just amazed at how many different voices they could do. And he said, if the producer is smart, you save a lot of money by hiring one person who can do a lot of different voices, because apparently females can do male voices and vice versa these days. So that is a very good point. Now, let's get back to the Loyalist. What's it about? Tell us the exciting stuff about it.
Like you said, it's about the American Civil War, the second American Civil War in the year 2053. There is luxury resorts that are sanctuaries that are hidden. So mm-hmm. the very rich will go hide out there to escape the consequences of war. Partisans are very anti-wealth. They're the people opposing the founders, who are very conservative. And then there's the very liberal side, East Coast, West Coast, divided down the middle. And this story in particular involves three soldiers who are dispatched to replace a missing security squad down in Brazil, and it's in a crumbling kind of resort that had shut down a long time ago. And there's about eight loyalists, very rich people, that they have to take care of. And it ends up being the first day they arrive, the general that's put in charge is murdered, and they have to figure out who did it.
Oh. So every week, is it every week or once a month or?
Our schedule's been a little rough. I only have one season out. When I was doing it was like every Friday. There's 11 episodes out right now. I'm working on another one. I want to get a little more consistent schedule when I do it again, which is just drop every episode, you know, in 11 weeks in a row.
Okay. So ideally you want to do it every week, but the 11 episodes are already up, so people can just go there and listen anytime.
Yeah, those are up there. Yeah. And I plan to do hopefully two more seasons of it and then finish it off and then work on some other projects too.
Ooh. So where can we hear The Loyalist? Because I know you're on a lot of streaming platforms. Give us some.
You can go to Spotify. You can go to Stitcher. You can go to SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, like you're on there too. The Loyalist is up on there. There's a bunch, forgetting a couple here. You can go off our website, which is the-loyalist.com. They're streaming on there as well. I can you put a link in my...
So yeah, if they type The Loyalist in Google, hopefully they will be able to get there. And what about YouTube? Is it on YouTube?
I didn't put the episodes up on YouTube yet, but they are on Apple. They're on Apple Music, so you can listen to them off Apple TV if you want to.
Now, that's interesting. Alexa. Why wouldn't you put it on YouTube for people who are going to say, why didn't you put it on YouTube? I'm already asking the question. Why?
I know. I don't know. I just didn't think of that as but there are a lot of especially the free episodes up there that are on there to do it there. I wasn't sure if the the space you needed to pay for it or anything like that. But I will eventually put them up there too.
Okay. So there's no reason or tip you could give the audience, like, don't put it on YouTube because.
No, there's no bias or, they're going to really on monotonizing your film or whatever, your episodes. Okay. Nothing like that.
You'll do it eventually. You just haven't done it yet. Mm-hmm. All right, got it. Okay. So you have already written the ending. You already know how it's going to end. Right? You already know?
Yeah, I have an idea. I don't want to say it's completely written.
Don't tell us. But you already know the ending. And is it a genre that you feel you're going to continue? Or are you the type of writer that does just that Civil War? And then I'm going to do something totally different.
I like the science fiction and I do like fantasy. I sort of lean towards doing those and writing that. Even when I start to write something else, I can put elements in there and sort of becomes that. But I would like to write something that sort of takes place in modern day and you don't have to adjust the dialogue to.
Yeah. Those period pieces. My God, I love period pieces. I tend to watch a lot of foreign films. And what they do in foreign countries, I don't know what kind of budget they have, but I watch a lot of murder mystery, like Call the Midwife and British. They have just the budget must be so huge because these costumes are beautiful and the makeup and the hair and the production value is so high. And I think, wow, how do they do it? What is going on? But here for network television, it is when you do a period piece, my God, it's so draining financially on the networks. They usually don't last. They get tired of, sucking the money out. And it's hard to get authentic accents when you're doing stuff from the 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s too. It really is. So now, let's talk about your new show. Is it new, Lady Orpheus?
I'm writing it now. It hasn't come out yet or anything like that.
Oh, it hasn't. Okay, no. Let's talk about it. I know it's an fantasy miniseries, right? Can you give us anything about what it's going to be? Wait a minute. I got it. It's about a necromancer for hire. Oh my God. I loved it. That idea when I heard it. A necromancer for hire. That guy must make millions of dollars. Who wouldn't want a necromancer? Now, hold on, Colin, because when I posted it, I'm like, why can't you Google what a necromancer means? Don't ask me, just Google it. But people will do it. You know they will. So let me tell you, for those who don't feel like Googling it. Okay, so I did it for you, but I knew what it was. But I got a really good definition. Okay. So, a necromancer is a person such as a wizard or a magician who uses witchcraft or sorcery, especially to reanimate dead people or to foretell the future by communicating with the dead. So in a sentence, it might be something like a person is killed by a serial killer and is revived as a zombie by a necromancer. Is that right?
Correct. Yep. That's it.
Oh, good. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So tell us, where did you come up with that? Because in a million years, I don't think I ever would have thought of the idea of a necromancer for hire. That is fantastic. So original.
Yeah. I wanted to write a story for a while about, a lot of, whenever a movie or a television show is greenlit. Nowadays, it almost has to have a built-in audience, whether it's from a book or it's a sequel or it's a franchise.
Yes.
And I wanted to write a story about our dependence on nostalgia and, our adherence to it. And I'm guilty of it as much as anybody else. Right. I go see a movie or a sequel or oh man, those Jurassic Park new ones, they look kind of sketchy, but I like the other ones, so I'm going to go see it anyway. But I wanted to write a story about us not being able to let go of the past in a lot of ways. And using necromancy to do that is the way I wanted to write it. And I also because it could easily be set in modern times, but I wanted to make the character immortal and just see how that's a through the centuries as it goes along, that it's a standard where people, some people just sort of can't let go of their past or their childhood or something like that.
Right. So the, obviously the main character is the necromancer. So he just, do you have him like going through a time period for your series? Like he starts out in the 1800s and then you go, you know, 1900s, et cetera. Is that what you're doing?
Or? I don't want to have each episode will take place. She will exist. It'll end in modern times, but I want each episode to take place like about 100 years apart, each one. Only mm-hmm. write like six of them. I want it to be like a one season kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. So oh, yeah. I started a female necromancer.
Yes.
I like that. Girl power. Oh, yes. And, oh, wow. I'm excited. So I'm sitting here visualizing. Oh, I can't wait. What are you, have you, can you give us anything? I don't want to ask intrusive questions, but can you give us any idea of when it's coming out or anything?
Hopefully, I'd say probably the end of next year, because I want to do some more loyalists first. So maybe I can coincide it and do it, start doing it. But by the time it's all edited and it's done, I lucked out because I'm one of the biggest expenses out here is, you know, is editing stuff. And what you should do. And I lucked out. I had my wonderful brother. You're talking praising Rory. He edited all of the series for me. My friend Christina did the pilot for me, but he edited all of them for me and saved me, you know, thousands of dollars doing it. But what I would recommend if you are going to do this is, you know, just start off on GarageBand. Use there's a bunch of websites like freesound.com, you know, you can get sounds from the Paleolithic era to futuristic. People upload sounds. You can buy them off Pond5, I think, the one place that sells that generic YouTube music you can buy. They also sell sound effects as well.
Pond, P-O-N-D?
Yeah, Pond5. It's pretty known for people who need generic like YouTube music that's transitional or that.
And it's all lots free? It's free? You can just...
No. Some of them... I think some of the music might be free, but you do have to purchase the sound effects. So I would recommend going to freesounds.com or making your own. Occasionally there'll be a sound effect you need. Like I had my main character had like a limp to her and I couldn't get that limp. She had that, like she hurt her foot and she had to do that. And I couldn't find it online. So I literally had my friend Christina put on some boots and just recorded her walking down the hallway.
You had her do a Foley effect. That's called a Foley effect, people. When you hear those sounds in the background, you know, that's called Foley. Wow, that was creative. Oh my gosh. So far, she's the main character. And is there another, does she have a partner or is she just goes and meets different people each episode?
She has a sister that she's at odds with. Who they both have different perspectives on how to survive in a very male driven world. The lead has a very, take no prisoners, doesn't want to take anyone's kind of shit. And her sister is more of a, hey, you can kind of manipulate these people and move along, get what you want by pretending to give other people what they want. And there's like a lot of conflict there. She has an estranged husband, and the god they get the souls from is Hades, the ancient obsolete god of the Greek afterworlds. So she has to go down there and it made a kind of Faustian bargain with him to retrieve souls.
Hades, I love this. So there are going to be some characters that we can get attached to. You know how... With anything, you gotta have characters that people like. There's always gotta be a comedian, somebody that's funny. That's the secret of success. That's my little tip. You gotta have somebody funny or people, you know, it's just please try to insert people some elements of comedy. You can't have drama all the time. People get bored. People have enough drama. They want to laugh once in a while. So the necromancer female, are you able to say her name yet or no?
Her name is credit to the actors. Eurydice, and she's named after Orpheus's lost wife.
Oh, and what is, can you say her name as an actress so we can look her
up? I'm not sure if I could do that yet. Okay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. An actress I'm using in The Loyalist, and she's amazing. She's really, we did a Zoom read a couple months ago in the beginning of summer, and she's great. She's excellent. She's a theater actress out here named Sierra. I think she actually helps run the Theater of Note over in Hollywood.
Okay.
And she's just great. And the one who plays her sister is named Danny Spring, who's also in The Loyalist as the reporter. And her estranged husband is Brian Bernhardt, who is Steinbach in The Loyalist, if you listen to that. He's the comic relief in there, and same here.
Okay. So I want to talk about what you just said. It just prompted a thought. Okay, so you had them work on The Loyalist. Now they're working on The Orpheus. I personally think that if you find a group of actors that work for you, are professional, or whatever your criteria is, show up on time, you know, don't do this, but do that, you should stick with them. I mean, all of the top A-list people, they have certain actors they work with because that is complimentary to them. However, on the flip side, when I go to all these events, industry events, people often complain, oh my God, you can't get a part because it's so clicky. And, you know, they always cast the same person over and over. And I say, well, you know, you got to know you can depend and rely on an actor. And it's really hard to find people that work for you. What are your thoughts on that?
I think you are right. You should also, you know, give other people. I took from the pool of very talented actor friends out here. I also use LA Casting, and you can, you know, you can put what your budget is like, hey, this would just be, you're not being paid or this. When there, LA Casting was some of the great people. You know, I just happen to have people that were friends too. Kirsten Day, who was a friend, Rory went to high school with her, with her husband, and we lucked out and she did me a favor and played one of the characters there. And she's on the Netflix Barbie show, and she's a voice, with Fire Emblem video game. And she did be a crazy solid and played this character in the season for me. And I just lucked out. And then, you know, you just use your, you know, your people that you're friends too, they can, especially with audio drama, they can do a billion different voices. I mean, Alex Denny, who's in this one too, he does like 3 or 4 different voices for me. He's just always dependable. Some of these guys can just, you don't ever underestimate your friends is what I want to
say. It's true. We had, who's a friend of ours personally, his name is Vic Mignogna, and he is the screenwriter, producer, director of a show called Star Trek Continues, which is wildly popular. I mean, this man has millions and millions and millions and millions of followers. But he also is a voice actor, and he's like considered a celebrity in the anime world. I'm not familiar with that world, but he can do like so many voices. And that's just, that blows my mind. I can barely speak English, right? So, but I really think that you should, if you're going to do an audio drama, you have, I feel concretely I can say that you should look for voiceover actors first if you, you know, don't have anyone just off the top of your head. Now, so I'm coming to you and I say, Colin, you've inspired me. I want to do an audio drama. What are the first basic steps, like 1, 2, 3 ABC that somebody would have to do?
Number one thing is, if you can't get a studio or do studio time, is find yourself a sound engineer. My friend Brian hooked me up with Seth Hackett, who recorded most of them, and our friend Fabian did some of the rest of them over a pandemic. But you get a sound engineer to come check out your apartment, see if it's good for sound. If you can't, you don't have studio or studio time, which I think where you should go first. But have him check out your apartment. And, you know, get your sound engineer first to check out your space and see if it's ready to. I mean, it was some of the stuff we dealt with when recording an apartment is kind of ridiculous. You know, hold for plane so many times, you said. construction one day on pipes. It's weird. One time they literally were detonating a house across the street.
So. Oh my gosh, that is true. I didn't think of that. And then you got to think of things like having the fan on or the air conditioner. Or these are all things you got to think about. So make sure you're sound. So what next?
I would make sure, you know, everyone is, when you're, everyone's casting, whatever, you make sure you kind of record them all at the same time, be conscious of their time. Mm-hmm. One thing I gave myself this thing is that only make, these are, you know, 30 to 40 minute episodes, which is a lot of takes. If you do five takes, that's a lot, that's a day of someone's time.
Yeah.
So I do three takes of each one, make sure you get what you want out of them and say at the end, like, hey, I need you to do that again. And remember at the end of it, because it's audio and you have that ability to edit things in here that you don't have with visual, you can be like, hey, I just need you to say that again in this tone or that tone. And you just be very conscious of your actor's time. They're very busy. I think that's
the key. Yeah. Yeah. And hopefully you're paying them. But if you're not, you want to be providing them with food and snacks.
We're big on the pizza and you know, make sure you get like a spread of coffee or whatever it is.
Oh yes, I mean, I am a great lover, as you can see, of the fork and spoon, so I make sure that you just have to provide. If you're doing something like this, and I've done many films that are independents and shorts and things, I make sure that the spread is hot. Let me tell you, you got it, because they care about food and nibbling. You know, they work hard. A lot of people these days, it's hard to even afford anything. So I would highly suggest that you have a lot of food and snacks for these people, right?
And options. Out here, everyone, you know, there's people that are gluten-free and vegan and always have that ready for you too.
I put a big sign up that said, no gluten-free people allowed. real quick, what is your, okay, so they, so you got that down. Okay, so once you're finished, recording, what do you record them on? Do you have them like stand in front of a mic or?
So we do, I would hire, if you know, if you, like I said, if you can't get a studio or pay for the studio time, I would hire someone to record them. We set up a bass. It was in Rory's bedroom, actually. And the mics were outside. We would do some room tone and all of that. And then we would record them from there. His sound equipment's great. It just some of it was music equipment, but it was the mics were all tested beforehand. You just got to make sure your sound's right too. We did, you know, there's a lot of mistakes you learn, especially I'd never directed anything before this. Yeah. And you start to, at first you're doing it wrong. You know, you're not doing it right. And you start to learn, hey, this is how you approach. You don't interrupt them and say that again. You let them go through their take. Especially, if it seems like they're something they got really wrong and you're like, no, you gotta go back and say that. You wait till they're finished. That kind of thing. Yeah. I would say too, with the sound equipment, you know, when you're hiring the sound engineer, they'll be able to walk you through any of that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely don't want to interrupt the actor while they're doing their lines. They hate that. Okay, so after you're finished, you have your material. I would imagine you start editing it, listening, edit. And then once you're finished and it's exactly the way you want it, you post it, correct, on your venues. That's it.
Yeah, you get an RSS feed, and then you can usually...
About that, what the heck's an RSS feed?
You can usually get one. Mine's from SoundCloud because I use it. It was pretty cheap, but I think you can pay for one on any sort of website. It's sort of like the central point where everything's coming from. And then when you submit to like Apple Music or Spotify, they all take from that feed from there, and you can see how many views or listens you have on there using it.
All right. People, look up RSS feed, because apparently that sounds important. I would imagine you have to have that, or else you'd have to, God, I don't know what you do. You'd have to go and individually post to each site, I would imagine, right? We don't know. This is for you. So right now The Loyalist is out. You're working on Lady Orpheus. That'll be out next year. And are you doing anything else? I mean, what is your dream? Is your dream, I guess my question is, what is your dream career and what steps does one take to achieve this particular career that you're doing right now?
I would like to, you know, I write in a very episodic television kind of way. I think that I've written a few screenplays here and there, but they are very time consuming to do, to write an entire movie. I know you have some experience with that. And it takes a lot out of you and a lot of time to do it. Whereas with this, I feel, you know, you're invested in the characters, especially when you're continuing, you kind of have a basic, you know, when you write something, I always say, you know, write a bio for that character, even if, you know, it doesn't seem like it makes any sense, but then you have something to feed off of, nibble off of when you're writing to do it that way. I always think that's the best way to do it. I would love to write for television or, you know, or film. That'd be the goal. You do have to get your foot in the door and get someone to notice you. And I feel like doing like an independent audio drama, you can get help. And, you know, like I said, there's service friends that, people who help me out, there's this great audio drama, called Arden. It's about it's almost like a serial spoof with the two girls investigating a mystery on a podcast within the show, start to fall in love with each other. And one of the writers, Christopher Dole, introduced me to a bunch of audio drama, journalists, and they spotlighted my podcast, at one point a few years ago too. And it really helped out a lot. And, it pays to be nice to people.
Yeah, it does. And try to go and get as many interviews as possible, because in this day and age, everything is blasted out on multiple social media sites and somebody's going to see you and say, like, I'm looking at you now, I'm going, is that Ryan Reynolds, people? Is that Ryan? Wait, let me do a double take, right? Because you've gotten that before. People tell you look like Ryan Reynolds, right?
Me? No, I actually have never.
You're kidding me? You look like you could be his twin. I'm not even kidding.
I will take it.
Go look in the mirror, honey, because you do. I know that's what I'm going to get. So, try to get on as many shows as possible. Do anything. Are there any sites? Like, for example, there is a site, I don't want to say the name, but they have popped up about 5 years ago and they let people who have just written web series enter, and if you win, you get, you know, of course you get a nice plaque, but you get money and you get a lot of recognition. And people have told me that because their web series was entered into this award show, that they ended up getting asked to write for Netflix, write original series for Netflix. Is there anything for audio drama like that for your own?
I mean, they've adapted a couple podcast series into Netflix. There's one, a Netflix show. I forget what the horror one that's kind of big right now that came out I think beginning of the summer that was really popular. But there's a Limetown, I think they made into a series. There's a couple of them there. But yeah, if your podcast, you know, that is really a big hit, someone will want to make something out of it.
Especially if it's original, like with a necromancer, right? It's there. So your dream is to become a television writer. You want to write.
Yeah, that's what I like doing.
Write first, direct, produce, or just write?
I like directing, but my main passion is just doing the writing part of it. But really, what I do recommend to people, there's probably a million people that are out there like me that are just like, oh, I just want to write. But you really should get out of your comfort zone and direct,
and produce and act because you want to get the experience of all the different, I mean, you're an entrepreneur, people. So that means you've got to be the sales department, the accounting department, the marketing department, and you should know what each of these particular professions do, so you know what your limits are with asking people to do things, or what you can ask. If you don't know, you don't know what options are available, right, Colin?
Correct.
Got to know. Do it all. Try to do it all. What are some of your bucket list projects? Like, in the future, I'd love to do a show about, do you have any bucket list dream projects that you'd like to do?
you know, I would just, an original series would be a dream for me. I'd love to do something. Be a showrunner on a show and, you know, write for it occasionally and guide other people on it. Because that's another thing too. I think a lot of people, when I've noticed when I have friends that first come out here and when I first moved out here is I can't show anyone this. They're going to steal my idea. They're going to do this. And no one's going to do it. No one's going to steal your idea. And if they do, it's a fluke. So you should be open to write with other people and meet other people and pass ideas. I wrote the Loyalist pilot and some of the episodes with one of my coworkers when I was first started out here at Trader Joe's. So, you know, be willing to, you know, talk.
Collaborate. Collaborate. Because you never know who they know.
Yep.
Never know. In your opinion, what are the pros and cons of being a screenwriter or doing an audio drama? I'll let you decide.
You're asking what the pros and cons of writing that is?
Other than obviously you got to find a job and support yourself and all that stuff. Other than financially, what are the pros and cons, do you think?
It is very stressful at the time to do it. You're in the day and some people, you know, will come late unfortunately the Loyalist is just the biggest problem is when I started off, I did use probably too many voices, instead of taking advantage of the voice guest. But towards the end, I start to, you know, you learn from your mistakes, you start to do that and you don't have to schedule, okay, this person comes at this time and that time. So like I said, part of the good thing to do with using someone that can do a billion different voices, very talented people, is you don't have to be like, okay, your hour's up, you need to get out of here. This next person's coming in to record.
That's a great tip. I love that. I think that's a very vital tip. What piece of career advice would you have given yourself maybe at the inception of your career when you started to think about working in the entertainment industry that you think, God, if I'd only thought about this for yourself personally or your career field? What advice?
You know, stop waiting. You know, I think a lot of people procrastinate with, hey, I've got to wait till I'm done with this or this till it's perfect, or I have this money for this budget. I recommend you go out and make it. My brother was a great, good inspiration. He put out his web series, his movie Guy. I know you were talking to him about that. You know, he paid for it, he budgeted it and that kind of thing. Do it. That's what I say, you know, don't procrastinate and stop and be like, oh, it'll happen someday, or I needs to be the right person to see it. Make what you want to make so everyone can see it.
Don't sit around waiting for the phone to ring. Mm-hmm. Get out there and pioneer your way. Well, I want to go over your sites really quick again so that they can follow you. Because you, in this day and age, you have to get a little thumb. You got to be followed. It is so important to promote and promote and promote. And when you think you finished promoting, promote some more. And it's so important to have a network of friends, right, Colin, to help promote you. So try to, don't burn your bridges. A lot of people come out here and they have they don't really understand how the industry works and they just kind of flake out. A lot of people are flaky, I found personally, and that just doesn't work out of here. All right, so go to the site, if they just type the Loyalist, is it going to come up or do you have that little hyphen in there?
If you put the Loyalist podcast into Google, you'll find it. It'll be on. It's like I said, it's on almost everything streaming that's available.
Spotify. Okay. So theloyalist.com. He's on Twitter at @TheLoyalistUSA. He's on Instagram at @TheLoyalist and on Facebook at Colin Deering. So I am excited. I want you to go on my friend's TV show. I'm going to PM me and remind me so that I can talk to him because I want to get, I think that necromancer idea is just, it's going to blow his mind. He's going to love it and he's going to want to talk because all things necromancer fascinating. Mm-hmm. So I want you to say goodbye to your fans.
goodbye fans. Thank you for listening. We have, you know, we're not the most popular show out there, but there are lots of people that will listen in and do it. And, you know, some people left reviews and everything like that. And I'm really appreciative. You know, it's not like I have any sort of promotion. I don't have any television ads or anything like that. And there's people out there listening to my thing. And I'm very grateful for that.
Yes. And we are so appreciative that you came on the show, because now we know that there's an original idea of a necromancer for hire. So I am all over it. So please keep me abreast of that and let us know so that I can promote it when it comes out. Okay.
Will do.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Colin. Thank you, everybody, for being on the show. Go to his website, theloyalist.com, and we'll see you next week on Question Reality. Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.